Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Well, we are in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church and is giving them instructions and corrections and addressing some very specific problems that have arisen in the church. The first one being divisions, cliquishness, people that are dividing over various things and particularly dividing over different preachers. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I am of Peter, and so forth. And Paul is addressing that problem rather extensively. He starts that correction in chapter 1, continues it in chapter 2, and is still dealing with that same subject when we come to chapter 3. He makes it clear that their problem is fundamentally that they are immature. They are babes in Christ when by now they should be much more mature. The church at this time is at least 5 years old. They've had plenty of time in which to grow up, but some of them haven't grown up. They're still acting like babes instead of like men. And furthermore, an additional part of their problem is a misunderstanding of what the ministry is all about. They are idolizing these preachers when they should not, and so that's why Paul in the first section of chapter 3 makes it clear that the preachers are partners together. They are servants. They are dependent upon the power of God. They can't do anything apart from the power of God and so forth. He explains all that in the first section. And then in this middle section that we're dealing with now, he talks specifically about first his own work as an apostle and then what some of the implications of that work are to the Corinthian church. And we'll continue that study on this Wednesday, June 2. We are glad that God enabled you to join us. We are glad that God has prompted some of you to help us financially. Well, Paul first talks about laying the foundation in verses 10 and 11, and we looked at that yesterday. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For, verse 11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so Paul first talks about the foundation of the church at Corinth, a local church. Paul is the church planter who laid that foundation. That was his assignment. That was the primary responsibility of the work of an apostle, and Paul was an apostle, and he laid the foundation of the church in his labors in Corinth for a year and a half, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he makes it clear is the foundation of the church at Corinth. It is the foundation of any church because it is the foundation of the church. And it's interesting, in the course of these two verses, verses 10 and 11, Paul moves from talking about a local church in Corinth to the church universal that comprises all true believers. There really shouldn't be the kind of debate and tension between these two concepts that we find sometimes among Christians, because both are so clearly taught in Scripture. There are some who deny that the Bible teaches such a thing as a universal church. They insist that every reference to the church in the Bible is only to a local congregation of believers. Well, that is so obviously not true. I don't know how anybody can say that and think they can defend it from Scripture, but that is wrong, 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 and you can find evidence for that error many places in the New Testament. But there are, of course, others, and maybe this is the reason why some go off in the air that I just described. There are others who, though they don't necessarily deny the reality of local churches, they minimize the local church and seem to only be concerned about the church universal. They talk about the church, but they don't ever talk much about a church, a particular church. And I remember back probably in the very first year of my ministry, which goes way back. I won't tell you how far. Some of you no doubt know. But when I was a young man and I was running into some of these debates, I decided to get out a concordance and list every time the word church, Greek ekklesia, was used in the New Testament, which I discovered was over 100 times, about 115 or 116 times. I listed all of those references. Took me two or three pages to list them all, and then I went to every single one of those references and read what was said and made a determination whether that reference, one by one by one, that particular reference, is talking about a local church or is talking about the universal church. And it's been so long ago, I can't tell you the exact numbers, but this is what I can tell you. There were a few references, just a small handful, in which it was difficult to decide. It was one of those things where it could be a reference to a local church or it could be a reference to a universal church. But that was a very small number. I don't remember how many, but let's say half a dozen or fewer. Of the rest of the references, 90-some of them, as I recall, clearly referred to local churches. The remainder clearly referred to the church universal, and then there was this small handful that could possibly refer to either one. And that was very instructive to me. It was like a light went on in my head, because I realized both of these truths are taught in the Bible. Both are important. We dare not deny either one. We dare not minimize one in order to emphasize the other. But if we're going from the biblical evidence, there is far more emphasis in the New Testament itself upon local churches than upon the church universal. Both truths are important. You can't understand either one properly without understanding the other one, but there's far more emphasis upon local churches than the church universal. God evidently esteems local churches very highly, because he talks about them a whole lot more than about the church universal. And if God esteems local churches so highly, then we should as well. Now, back to verses 10 and 11. Can you see the shift here from local to universal? Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. He's talking about the foundation of a particular local church, the church at Corinth. But then verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the church universal. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, made up of all true believers, was established by God. God laid the foundation of the universal church. Paul laid the foundation of the local church in Corinth. But God laid the foundation in the universal church. And what he's telling us is, every local church, which is a true biblical local church, must be built upon the same foundation as the one true universal church, the foundation that God laid for it. It's Jesus Christ in both cases, the biblical Christ, the true Jesus Christ, the one that the Bible reveals, the one who is God incarnate, the one who is God, the one who is a member of the Trinity, the triune Godhead, the one who became a man, the one who lived a sinless life, the one who died upon the cross as a substitutionary payment for the sins of those who trust in him, the one who rose bodily from the grave, the one who ascended back to heaven, the one who is ruling upon the throne of the universe even now and who will one day return. The foundation of the church universal is Jesus Christ. The foundation is him. It is his person and his work. That's the foundation. There is no church except what is built upon that foundation. There are no members of the church except those that grow out of that foundation, who are joined to this Christ, who are believers in the Christ that I just described. Anyone who claims to be a Christian, but he's believing in a different Christ, is no true Christian. Anyone who claims to be a Christian, but he is trusting in a different gospel than the one I just summarized quickly, is no true Christian. Only those who are true believers in the person and work of Jesus Christ are members of the Church Universal. They are members of the body of Christ. There are many bodies of Christ, churches local, but there is one body of Christ made up of all born-again believers. And when anyone is doing the work of church planting, as Paul did, then when a foundation for a local church is laid, like was laid in the city of Corinth, that foundation must correspond to the foundation that God laid. He laid the foundation for the church. Every local church, if it's going to be a true biblical church, has to have the same foundation. Every local church foundation must correspond to the divine foundation of the universal church. If not, it cannot be a Christian church, no matter what is the label. So if a group comes along and they claim to be a Christian church, but they have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they are not telling the truth. It's impossible. But if a church is built upon the right foundation, the true foundation, then in the beginning it is a true church because it was built upon the right foundation. Now, can it get knocked off that foundation somewhere down the line? Yes. Sadly, that does happen. But if it isn't built upon the true foundation to begin with, it starts out as being something other than a true Christian church. A church being a true Christian church depends upon being built upon the right foundation. Most, if not all, apostate churches were founded originally as true churches, but then they shifted off of the true foundation. And now they are no longer a true Christian church because they have slid off the foundation of the gospel of Christ carried out by the Christ of Scripture. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.